You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
They know how to make me happy on this show. I don't just like Green Day, but I do like Green Day a lot.
Really?
Big fan of Green Day.
Did you go see The American Idiot?
No.
On Broadway?
No.
Or on King Street?
No, I did not.
I think I saw it. In fact, I know I saw it.
Now, Billy Joe Armstrong turned up at like a bar in Montreal and played there not long ago. Just like jammed in a bar in Montreal.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah. And the Rolling Stones. Nice surprise. See, the Rolling Stones are going to play a show in. They're going to play like out near. Kind of halfway between here and Ottawa.
Yeah, like Oromadante.
Oromadante, yeah.
Oromadante.
They're going to play outdoors there. Yeah.
It's so funny because I was looking up the last time when the Leafs and Habs played on Saturday night. I was doing some reminiscing, going through the old Star archives of the last time the Leafs and Habs played in the playoffs, which was 1979.
Yeah.
And it was concurrent. That series happened around the time that Keith Richards had to play
the concert for the blind.
Yeah, the concert for the blind to make up for his heroin charges that he incurred here in Toronto.
So his blind angel, a Stones fan who was a young blind girl, kind of reached out to the judge and said how nice Keith Richards had been to her. And so Keith Richards' sentence was to perform a concert for the blind.
Right. On the heroin possession charges.
You know, here we are, like when we travel, like we you and I both like to eat, you know, healthy. Like Keith Richards is like 74 years old.
He just turned 75. He'll never die.
Like he smokes 2 packs a day. You could float a battleship in all the whiskey he's drunk. And like here we are having like the salad instead of the fries.
And like every time you see him trending, you think, oh, here's the day. But it's never Keith Richards is dead. It's always Keith Richards will play another show in Toronto. When you thought the last one was the last time he played, no, they're coming again. The Stones will never die.
You know, I flunked grade. I'm not proud of this, but I flunked grade 11. Part of grade 11 for the
whole
Stones.
The whole grade.
Not the whole grade. Part of it. So, my neighbor Mark Firstino in Edmonton had an older brother who went to the University of Colorado.
Oh yeah.
And on the Stones Tattoo U tour, I think it was, they were playing their allegedly last tour. Like, the Stones were done.
Right.
This was 1981.
I think the Who played their last show in Toronto in 1982.
What? Yeah, and so, but Rolling Stone magazine said it wasn't. They'd know. So we piled into Mark's Datsun B210 and drove from Edmonton to Boulder, Colorado. That's a long drive.
Seems ill-advised.
5 of us in a small car. Our seats. So I want you to picture a football stadium and put the stage in the end zone.
Okay.
And then put us in the upper deck at the opposite end of the stadium in the last row.
Seems like a really great seat.
The whole thing just went sideways.
And that was pre-HD TV, let's just say.
Yeah, and I missed a series of midterm exams and had to rewrite them. And yeah, that did not go well.
Could you hear the Stones?
You could hear the Stones.
You couldn't see the Stones.
You could probably hear them like 30 seconds after they'd struck the note. But yes. So there you go.
There was the rumor of the Stones being in the same stadium as you.
Yes. Hey, we got a guest in the studio.
I'm early.
You are. That's good. You're a keener.
Going to break?
No.
Oh.
No, we're bringing you right in.
To come in at 6:05. It's 6:03:34.
Well, you want to sit there for a minute and a half and do nothing?
but that's what I was doing, listening to your wonderful tale of the concert that you went to.
You got any good Stones stories, Dregs?
Oh, no. Dregs grew up country music. I mean, I grew up country music, too, but Dregs, no.
I don't really.
It's okay.
I know.
Okay.
I appreciate the Rolling Stones, but it's like the Beatles, which is sacrilege. I understand that. I've never seen a Star Wars movie. Don't care. Never will. I'm moderately interested in the Beatles historically. Rolling Stones mean nothing to me.
Wow, you're a lot of fun to party.
Jeez, Drex.
Other than that,
what gets you fired up, Drex?
By the way, on the movie thing, if you're not a fan of comic books or superheroes, there's zip to see at the movie theaters these days. Like, there's really not a lot to see in the theater.
You guys are cultural. You guys live in a cultural abyss.
I watched Venom on the way back. One of the Marvel movies, right?
All right, so Darren Drager is here. TSN 1050's Trade Deadline coverage is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealer, Subaru. Confidence in motion. All right, Dregs, you were in Winnipeg.
Yes, I was.
I was in Ottawa. Mark Stone is an Ottawa senator. For now.
Yeah.
Tied a career high with his 26th goal last night. He's from Manitoba. Let's put 2 and 2 together and make 5.
Yeah. Be a good fit. From Winnipeg's perspective, be a great fit. At least on a short term, because as we've talked about at length, you know, when you look at the future of the Winnipeg Jets from a financial perspective, with everything that has to go on there, how do you keep a piece like that? Well, you can, unless you're moving pieces out. But yeah, you know, from a coaching standpoint, I'm sure Paul Maurice looks at his young lineup, and even though the media in that market believes that they need a center, it's a little disrespectful, frankly, to Brian Little, who's done an excellent job. He just has to manage two very young players, you know, and that's what he has on the wing there. So I think from a coaching standpoint, and maybe Chevalier as well, they look at their need, and their need is a top six winger. And if you get out a piece like Mark Stone, man, that really pushes the Winnipeg Jets truly into that contending position. Even though most of us who have watched the Winnipeg Jets probably have them there already.
Right.
But they're looking at, you know, they're comparing themselves to the best in the East, Tampa Bay. You know, even Pittsburgh to some degree, even though the Penguins are hurt and floundering. And then Nashville, and, you know, the comparisons you've got to make in the West. And they're like, if there's an area of need, it's going to be adding some experience up front.
So I know you're hoping, as is everybody that works here at TSN, that this thing plays out on trade deadline day, trade center day, February 25th. But in terms of the timeline of how the Senators are going to proceed here, with Duchesne hanging there and Stone hanging there in the balance and teams obviously calling, how do you see it playing out, Dregs?
Well, Pierre Dorion and Jim Clark, who's the chief scout of the Ottawa Senators, are going to be in Winnipeg tomorrow. The Winnipeg Jets play the Colorado Avalanche tomorrow. Now, that's not unusual, because Winnipeg plays Ottawa, Ottawa's in Winnipeg on Saturday. But can you imagine the buzz that that's going to create?
Yeah. Right.
Now, the Jets play three times this week on home ice. The Moose play three times, so it's one-stop shopping. And a lot of NHL clubs, Ottawa included, would have looked at this several weeks ago and said, well, that's a good time. But because we're inside 2 weeks from the trade deadline, and there is reason to connect Winnipeg to Ottawa, that's going to amplify the speculation. I believe that Pierre Dorion is going to make one more hard run at Mark Stone. And if it's not later this week, it's going to be before next week. And that's not to say that they push all their chips to the center of the table and say, take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's going to try real hard. There's been an ongoing back and forth with Pat Brisson, who represents Matt Duchesne. And I don't know the specifics, but I know that Duchesne has been offered a lot of money. A lot of money. North of $8 million.
Wow.
A lot of money.
8-year deal?
I presume it's an 8-year deal. You know, but so they're still interested in Matt Duchesne. It's not like they're turning left because, you know, they're not interested in Wright anymore. You know, they would like to sign both those guys. I'm not selling optimism here because, frankly, I don't think either player is going to sign in Ottawa.
Right.
I don't. I just, it's dragged to this point. Why wouldn't you go to the market?
Well, that's the thing.
Why wouldn't you?
If you're this close to getting a bite of the apple, why wouldn't you? I mean, you can always go back to your... I mean, there's nothing precluding you from going back to them.
No, nothing. So
the only difference is after July 1st, you can't sign an 8-year deal.
Right. And look, that is a bit of an issue. I think it would be for Matt Duchesne. And I'll tell you, and people don't realize the back and forth between Brisson, probably Lou Lamoriello at the time of the Islanders, and the Toronto Maple Leafs over John Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody thinks that on July 1st, John Tavares went into the meeting with the Toronto Maple Leafs and was wooed by Mike Babcock and the idea of playing with Mitch Marner, and I'm signing in Toronto. Now, I mean, he knew going into that meeting that he was going to Toronto, and there had been back and forth. There had been discussions on, okay, well, you know, maybe the Islanders should trade Tavares to the Maple Leafs.
Trade his rights, yeah.
Trade his rights. And then the advantage to that being the Islanders get something in return. And, of course, Tavares gets that 8th year. Didn't work out that way, obviously. Yeah. You know, they had to go back and forth, and they agree on the 7-year, $11 million flat deal. I think same agent, different type of player. But I believe that, again, this last push, if you will, by Pierre Dorion is going to be the last push. But it's not like you crack the door open and say, all right, well, these guys aren't signing now, so throw all your best offers at me. Managers have been calling Pierre Dorion daily, right? I mean, they're circling, they know, and they're saying, look, you know, we can't deal with the specifics unless you want to deal with the specifics, but just know that we're in on this guy, on that guy.
All right, the Leafs. Ron Hainsey back with Morgan Riley at practice today. They played together again last night, got moved back together.
Yeah.
Does this mean the Leafs might look at making another acquisition on D?
Well, I mean, they keep chasing the Carolina Hurricanes. So, you know, they're not collecting air miles and wasting time. I mean, there's a reason for it. And, you know, we've speculated before on what a package might look like. Could you, you know, get Brett Pesce? What would it cost? You know, does it have to be a young forward? You know, could you find a way to bamboozle the Carolina Hurricanes into taking Nikita Zaitsev and maybe a sweeter piece, you know, in terms of a prospect from the Marlies? Or I don't know. I'm just pontificating at this point. But I think that they do believe that right shot defense is maybe more important now than what they even expected it was when they acquired Jake Muzzin. You know, they've got a real good defensive core. They don't have perfect balance. And I don't think that there'd be too many of us who aren't fans of Ron Hainsey in the game that he can still play at, what, 38?
Soon to be 38, yeah.
Soon to be 38. But can he play that type of game for the duration of this season? And through what they hope will be a long playoff run. That's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask. What's curious about this, though, is, and I talked about it on Leafs Lunch, when that trade was announced, I had a quick exchange with Babcock, and I said, you know, how do you see Muzzin sliding in? Is he going to play on that right side with Morgan Rielly, and how do you think it's going to fit, and how are they going to work? And the response was, well, we're going to find out. Well, we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Right.
We haven't seen Muzzin on that right side. And I'm not questioning Babcock. I'm just surprised we haven't seen it even on a short-term basis.
Well, it's interesting because it does seem like when Babcock came to the rink that day in Detroit when Muzzin made his debut at practice, you know, he was kind of begrudgingly putting Jake Muzzin on the left side so yeah. Jake Muzzin would be comfortable, and putting Morgan Rielly on the right side. And he made a big point of saying, hey, there was a guy named Nick Lidstrom who was a left shot defenseman yeah. who always liked playing the left and said to me, you know, keep me on the left, essentially. And yet while he was saying that, he was also playing Morgan Rielly on the right side. And what do you make of it now that he's putting Morgan Rielly back on the left with Ron Hainsey?
Well, I mean, it's in part through necessity because Morgan Rielly isn't as impactful, you know, on the right side. He's on the left
right.
side. I mean, that's pretty obvious, and that's why Babcock is going back to it. There's no way that Babcock wouldn't have had a conversation with Jake Muzzin. Otherwise, what I said a minute ago just doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't you try it if the player is telling you, yeah, I'm in. And let's take a couple of shifts and see how it goes. And if it goes well, then let's try a game. And then if it goes well, let's try I don't know. Maybe Jake told him that I'm happy to try, but I'd prefer to stay on the left right. side. And otherwise, it doesn't make right. sense. Does
and as
it?
Daryl Sutter told us on this very station, the guy had never played the left side, I guess he's told Steve Simmons that. For I give Steve credit for doing that interview before we did.
For sure.
But Daryl went, you know, A to Z about all the times that Jake Muzzin had played on the left side, and how he was way more comfortable playing with a right shot D. Which the Leafs just don't have.
So Carolina's got four right shot D.
Yeah.
It would seem it comes down to Brett Pesce or Dougie Hamilton. Justin Falk, you're probably not looking there. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, you're probably not looking there. But
no.
Dougie Hamilton's really interesting to me. Last year he scored 17 goals for the Calgary Flames. That tied for the league lead in goals by defenseman. He has scored at least 10 goals in five consecutive
I know.
Years. And yet, he's fourth in Carolina in ice time among defensemen. He's been traded twice.
It doesn't add up.
Right?
And I know where you're going, and we've asked the same questions of hockey men that we trust. It's hard to get a definitive response or answer is it Dougie Hamilton being unlucky? Now, when he got traded out of Boston, whether it was his fault or not, I think that he was an immature young hockey player at that point. That was an experienced team for the most part. Mm-hmm. And I think that there were some growing pains there. Right? And they got decent return for Dougie Hamilton as part of that package. I mean, you got to give Brad Treliving a ton of credit for what he got back in the trade with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Right.
Like, come on. So, in the deals that he's been involved with, there's been value that has gone back the other way. But to your point now, Gord, when you look at the stats line of Dougie Hamilton with the Carolina Hurricanes, it doesn't compute. But what does a deal like that look like again? That's what I always want to come back to. You know, Toronto did backflips in acquiring Jake Muzzin because they didn't have to lose an NHL roster player. You know, they didn't want to lose Grundstrom. You know, they'd have preferred Liljegren been involved in that deal. And I think Los Angeles, in fact, wanted Sandin. And that wasn't going to happen. So they settled on Grundstrom. Are you willing at this stage, based on the upside of what you're seeing in Janssen, to throw him into the mix? Kasperi Kapanen, for me, is a non-starter at this point of the year. Maybe you have to do it in the offseason because of offer sheet threats and the cap and all the nonsense anyway. But are you doing that for Brett Pesce? You'd love to throw Nikita Zaitsev into that mix. But Tom Dundon told us not that long ago that he doesn't put a premium on any defense. So he's not taking on that contract based on the way Zaitsev is playing.
Apparently he told people that if Carolina had the first pick in the draft last year, they wouldn't have taken Rasmus Dahlin.
Yeah. Makes you
makes you
shake your head a little bit.
So anyway, I just don't know what that package would look like because it has to be dollar in, dollar out from Toronto's perspective. So Hamilton is what, $6 million?
Yeah, just shy, 5.75. Two more years after this, it's 5.75.
I think he'd be a great ad from Toronto's perspective. How do you make it work? And you know, what does Carolina need back? That's probably going to make it an issue.
But don't you want to, like, if you're looking at all those guys you talked about, Kasperi Kapanen, Andreas Janssen, and you're looking at a cap picture where it's going to be difficult to keep all those guys in the universe where they're going to need raises because they're both restricted free agents, do you get ahead of it now and lose one to gain that asset you've long been looking for?
From a management standpoint, I would say yes. From a coaching perspective, no chance Mike Babcock wants to lose either one of those two forwards. Zero chance.
And this is the great luxury of being a coach, Darren, is you get to want all the guys you want, but not have to give up anything. Coaches want everyone, but don't want to trade anyone.
Oh, yeah. No, I need Wayne Simmons, so go out and get Wayne Simmons. I need that right shot D-man. Go and get him. I don't care who you give up from the Marlies, but don't touch my roster. Right. I mean, that's how the coach looks at it. It's next to impossible. I mean, they're going to lose players. I mean, there's no doubt of that. But the way we look at the Toronto Maple Leafs today, and based on what we saw last night in Colorado and how the Blender came out with his D pairings, I mean, that's why we're even having this conversation, is it's just wild speculation.
Yeah.
And I would throw into that, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I can see Dougie Hamilton on the right side on the top pair. I can't see Brett Pesce there yet.
No.
Brett Pesce's a top four. Is he a top pair?
There's something about Hamilton, and I think a lot of it is scurrilous. I think stuff came out of Calgary. They didn't like to go to museums,
he liked museums.
He wanted to go to museums, and the guys were going out for beer or whatever. Calgary Flames guys say that that's not the case.
Yeah,
the Calgary guys I've talked to, he's a different guy. He's very quiet. He's very studious. He's not the cookie cutter.
I mean, I've interviewed him a bunch of times. As if you've talked to him, I like the guy. He's great to talk to. You get, legit conversation. Yeah. He's not afraid. He'll answer questions. He'll engage in conversation. I don't know. I mean, we keep looking for something that's buried there, and I don't dig deep into that nonsense. But I haven't found it yet.
But being different, Dregs, in hockey
can hurt.
It can hurt you.
It can hurt.
This is not a sport that really encourages peacocks, right?
That's fair.
It doesn't like.
You say PK? Or peacock.
Peacocks, yes.
Yeah. Or well, PK is one of them. Right, exactly. No, and you're right. I mean, but the guy's from a great family. His dad was a national team rower. His mom was a national team basketball player. I mean, incredible family. And he's a
great
GTA guy. I mean, he's a GTHL kid. I mean, we connect those dots too often in this town, but makes sense to me. I mean, in every level. What about Simmons? Does Simmons have, I was talking to somebody the other day after the Montreal game, a guy I respect around the league, and he said, Wayne Simmons, Mike Babcock might want that ounce of grit, that injection of grit in a Scarborough guy, but Wayne Simmons doesn't have the speed anymore. What do you see there?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. And, Chuck Fletcher and Donnie Waddell with Mike Ferland are just, they're waiting in the weeds, right? Yeah. They're waiting for the Ottawa chips to fall. Then that next tier gets a good look. I watched the Rangers play the Jets last night in Winnipeg. The New York Rangers are kind of stuck in the mud there too. Kevin Hayes is a good player.
Yeah.
They've got him. They've got Zuccarello. They've got Adam McQuaid. These players are getting traded. It's just they're almost in a holding queue here waiting for it to happen. I don't believe that the Toronto Maple Leafs want to pay the price that you're going to have to pay to acquire that rental player. That's why, to me, as long as they continue to follow and scout the Carolina Hurricanes, Ferland, and I'm not connecting the two based on inside information, he makes more sense to me than Wayne Simmons, mm-hmm. because maybe you can package him as part of something. So maybe Toronto does give a little bit more to get that right shot D and you know, Mike Ferland, even though they have no intention of extending Ferland in the offseason. I don't know. But
they're both intriguing guys, Drakes, because Ferland had a real hot start to the season. He scored last night. Prior to that, he'd scored three times in 26 games. Simmons has been cold for Philly. I got to think, though, Drakes, a team like Boston that might need some help on the, like, only Ovechkin has more power play goals the last 5 years than Simmons.
Yeah.
Like, Toronto doesn't need a power play guy. They got lots of those. Boston would be a team that would be looking for some punch on the power play. A guy that can mix it up in front of the net, you know, jam a couple of rebounds home. Doesn't that make more sense? Especially with Boston.
It definitely makes more sense. Boston, though, see, with Mike Ferland, I like this kid's game. I do. I don't know that I'm sold that he can consistently be a top six. Do you need him to be? Yeah, maybe you don't need him to be full-time. You know, Wayne Simmons is a bit of a specialist now. And to Dave's point, I think he's slowed. I mean, there's some wear on that chassis.
Hip surgery.
Yeah, there's some wear there. And I understand that. From Boston's standpoint, I think they like Tyler Toffoli initially. But I don't know if he's got the LA Kings disease or what's going on there. But all of a sudden, he's starting to look a little slower now, too, you know? Ryan Dzingel is a player that a lot of teams, including the Boston Bruins, are going to take. That doesn't answer your need for a little bit of extra spice or bite. But
he's a poor man's Mike Hoffman. I mean, maybe not even a poor man's Mike Hoffman. He might be Mike Hoffman part two. Like he's got a great release.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. He can skate.
Like and from Boston's standpoint, they're old enough as it is, and they're not getting younger up front.
Right.
You know, so at least in a Ryan Dzingel, there's some future there if you're able to make that trade and extend him. You know, he's young enough that you know you've got some years in Ryan Dzingel. So I think that they'll take a hard look at him.
You know what, James? Just before we go, like Tim Kirkjian from ESPN was with us earlier and talking about the changing landscape in baseball, you know, mm-hmm. Bryce Harper still not signed, things like that. I wonder if the landscape isn't going to change in hockey a little bit. You know, like Tavares got the 7 years, but James Van Riemsdyk got 38 goals last year. He got a 4-year deal. Like only the one long deal was signed last summer.
Well, and here's an interesting one. Not interesting enough that it made the menu of insider trading last night, but I thought it was interesting because it was my topic and I brought it to the table.
Layoffs.
I got the Players Association and there are CBA discussions that are ongoing. Right, they're happening right now, and everything's nice. The PA is submitting that they would like to have the 35 and older cap hit removed entirely.
Right. So that's a deal where if you sign a player 35 and over, his cap hit counts no matter what, unless he goes on LTI.
No, it doesn't count at all. Zero cap hit for a 35 and older player. And the reason being because the second contract, the younger player's taking over the league. Now, there aren't that many 35-plus players.
But you say now it does.
Yeah, now it does.
Now it does.
Yes.
Now it counts no matter what.
It does.
Unless you go on LTI, like if the guy retires, gets hit by a bus, whatever, it stays on the thing.
And, you know, I should know how many players 35 and older are in the league, but there aren't that many.
No.
Now, would there be 25 across the league? Maybe 30?
Probably not that many.
You know, but that makes a lot of sense because that player 30-plus is starting to go the way of the dodo bird when you talk about the contract extensions and the money that's being made. So maybe that's a way of freshening it up a little bit. But I think you're right. You know, the longer terms are also starting to disappear.
All right, TSN 1050's trade deadline coverage brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealer, Subaru, confidence in motion. Dregs, how's your Chris Bosch imitation?
Not good.
He just pulled the plug on us.
Come on!
He did. We've been promoting him for 2 hours.
Okay.
He's got a
I do have to tell you a quick basketball story. It'll take 10 seconds. Doc Rivers, you know Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I actually hosted NBA games sparingly on TV for CTV back in the day.
Doc did you
Rivers,
really?
Yes, I
now
did.
That is
Rick Barry
trivia.
Was one of my analysts, and that. Doc Rivers was the other. And every time we do a conference call to set up the game, Doc Rivers would come on the line, and I say, "Hey, Doc, it's Darren. How are you?" "Double D, how are you?" Every single time.
He did have one of the great responses to a question last year. He's asked about 2 years ago. He's asked about an injured player. You know Doc's a nickname, right?
I like that. Hey, by the way, to answer your question, Driggs, my trusty database here, there are 27 players, 35 and over in the NHL to begin the season, I guess.
It won't be a big item, but it'll be an item.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, okay. The boys from Overdrive are in Vegas. They're not there yet.
I don't even know if they've left the tarmac.
They left the tarmac.
Their wheels up.
But here's my question. We were speculating on the sleeping arrangements. Would it be separate rooms or would it be one big suite and a Siberian white tiger?
Ah. I would opt for the latter. Yeah, it's either one big suite which belongs to Jeff O'Neill, yes, and then the other guys are, you know, staying at the Motel 8 or 6 or whatever down.
Or 5.
Yeah. But oh no, O'Dog will have something cooked up. There's no doubt.
And if you're making odds, what are the odds O'Neill adds to the neck tat with a face tat a la Mike Tyson?
Nah, he's over that.
I think he's
over that. Now, there is symbolism to the neck tat, but I think that there's also a little bit of regret.
He's got 3 daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah. No tats for you, right, Dregs? Do you have tattoos?
Wait a second.
What?
Pregnant pause.
Hang on a second. Do you have tattoos?
Yeah.
Really?
I have a bunny rabbit on my left cheek.
No,
you don't.
Yeah, you want to see it?
No.
It disappears on occasion. You know why?
Why?
Crawls in the hole.
Oh my goodness. This is likely my last appearance as the host of the temporary host of Overdrive. Dregs, thanks for joining us, I think.
Yeah, anytime.
This
might be my last appearance.
What happened to Overdrive? Well, Gord Miller hosted it and the thing went right down the drain.
It's like we're hosting from Vegas.
I think you have a tattoo.
I do not have a tattoo. Both my kids have a tattoo.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, which was tough for me. Signing off on a tattoo as a dad is challenging.
Did you pay for the tattoos?
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, I'm sure I did.
Indirectly.
Somehow?
Now, both were tributes to their grandparents.
So that's a nice very touch nice. To it. Yeah. That's very nice. Thanks.
Very nice.
Get back on the phone.
Yeah, boys.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Appreciate it. There's Darren Dreger.
Double D.
Our hockey insider on Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on TSN 2. Never quite understood what that song was about. My daughter runs the playlist in the morning at our house.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, and I listen, and I try to figure out what the songs are about, and I don't do well.
Kick It, Jackie Chang? Is that what that's saying?
Some of them are good, though. I got to say, some of the stuff's pretty good.
Well, Kick It, Jackie Chang, it seems like he's a kung fu star.
One of my daughter's favorite songs is Little Less Conversation by Elvis, the remix. I think it's Fatboy Slim remix.
Fatboy Slim, that's a good remix.
He used it in Ocean's 11.
Yes.
A lot. But yeah.
It works.
She likes that. So, amen. Elvis did everything before anyone did anything.
Yeah, I think that's true. There's a lot of black guys that did it before him, but other than that.
But in terms of rock and roll?
Yeah, I think he was copying black guys. But
in terms of being in the mainstream, being.
Yes.
Right? I mean.
Yes, he was the first big rock star.
And he was the king of Vegas. And it's where our guys are going. The reason Gord Miller and Dave Festchuk are here today is that, well, I mean, besides our sparkling personalities.
I think that's the key.
Yeah, probably not. Is that the Overdrive guys, Hayes, Noodles, O'Dog, are on their way to Vegas. I think Noodles is there.
He got there.
He is curled up in the fetal position in his room. He is sick.
He's sick before hitting the strip. Yeah.
And so now Hayes and O'Dog left late, so they're on their way there. And tomorrow, we get the wedding.
Chad and Ashley
are getting married, and they're going to the Leaf game tomorrow night against the Golden Knights. Have you been to a hockey game in Vegas?
I've never been.
It's great.
I can't wait.
Great arena. It's terrific.
I can't wait to go. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It's amazing. Like, when you think about, Gary Bettman has gambled on a lot of things in his time as a commissioner of the NHL. The Vegas one has paid off.
Oh,
I mean, now he had some insider information. His brother worked in Vegas for a long time. Was a senior executive of the casino.
Right.
And so he had the inside track on what kind of
a town it is.
Well, because Vegas is not, when you think of Vegas, you think of the Strip.
Of course.
Right? But that's like 10% of Las Vegas.
Yes.
It's a city of over 1 million people that has doctors and lawyers and dentists and people.
Suburbs.
And people whose jobs have nothing to do with gambling, hospitality, or the Strip.
Right.
So it's a major community, and it's paid off handsomely. His NBC TV deal, which people criticized, has paid off nicely. Like, a lot of things, and I say that as an employee of NBC. Like, I'll declare the conflict right there. But it's
a great deal for you.
No, but people said at the time, well, you know, ESPN doesn't make any sense. It's been a great deal for them.
I hear you, and I'll tell you, I was in Vegas in the summertime for that USA basketball thing where Kyle and DeMar were there, and Vegas Golden Knights stuff everywhere. Like, that town was still smitten, even though hockey season was a few months in the rear view. You could tell it was a Golden Knights town. Even though they're building the NFL stadium out in the suburbs there, it's, you know, the fact that you're there first, that's a huge move, right? You've won the hearts of the city. And people, I'm sure, will embrace the NFL team just as they would probably embrace an NBA team if one ever ends up there. Right. I know the players would love to see it. But you're right. It was a great move by Bettman to get that $500 million expansion fee. He doesn't have to share with the players, didn't have to share with the players. And to have that kind of a success story, it's hard to second guess that one.
So you're wondering where Chris Bosh is.
I am wondering where Chris Bosh is.
We were promoting for 2 hours. He has apparently a conflict. He can no longer join us.
That's a shame.
Which is too bad because we wanted to talk to him about some of the things he said on a podcast.
The Bill Simmons podcast
about Toronto. He had some regrets, wishes they'd done better. Didn't do much in the playoffs while he was here.
Two times in the playoffs and they didn't win a series.
And he talked about some of the drawbacks of playing in Toronto, the taxes, customs. And we've heard this before from athletes who play in Canada. It's not so much coming in, it's going out. It's going back to the States where U.S. customs could be a little more time. He says 45 minutes.
It can be.
I've flown on team charters with the Leafs and with other Canadian teams to the U.S. I don't recall it being 45 minutes to go through U.S. customs. Now, it can be, say you play the Wizards here tonight and you both leave after the game. You could wind up after the Wizards and have to wait a while. But, and I know people, oh, come on, like you guys make millions of dollars a year. What's 45 minutes of customs? I guess. The bottom line is, Dave, as good as the Raptors are now, and with Drake and everything else, the perception of this team has changed. But have they changed enough to make Toronto a prime free agent destination?
I think it has, and I'm not sure it has to be a prime destination for that to be true. Like, the perception of the team and the city has changed because this team has only been a good team for a handful of years, right? Like, it's taken time. Like, they started out in 1995. They were terrible. Chris Bosh arrived after Vince Carter. They weren't very good with Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh left. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry brought the team to prominence. Of course, they haven't gotten them over the hump. They haven't gotten to the NBA Finals yet. Kawhi Leonard's here now. And guess who picked to get to the NBA Finals to represent the Eastern Conference this season? Chris Bosh. He thinks the Raptors are the best team in the East. Right. In that podcast, that's what he said anyways. We could have asked him about it if he would have shown up on the show. Unfortunately, he couldn't join us. But I do think things have changed, and I know it's going to be, you know, whether or not Kawhi Leonard stays here will obviously be the narrative of the moment. Can the Raptors keep Kawhi Leonard will be the moment that defines the franchise in a lot of ways. So that's still an open, it's an open question to a degree, but I do think a lot has changed since Chris Bosh complains about customs.
When I think about the great Raptors over the years, so the first great Raptor, well, the first good Raptor was Damon Stoudemire.
Yeah.
There was a lot about him not to like.
Yeah.
Right?
Including the fact he wanted out.
Sulky, powder. I had a bad experience with him personally. I emceed a dinner, a Children's Wish dinner, where he fell asleep at the head table and ignored a woman who talked about her, you know, her child who was sick.
Yeah, different era of the
Vince,
NBA.
But Vince, it didn't end well here.
Ended very poorly.
I think a lot of people in Toronto are ambivalent about Vince. Like, they give him the applause, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Right, like it's.
There's been revisionist history since he left because of the young players who young kids.
Tracy McGrady,
yeah, didn't end well.
Didn't end well. Bosh,
didn't end well.
Didn't end well.
He peaked. Right, so. Actually, his best year as an NBA player in a lot of ways was his last year in Toronto, but he didn't play hard down the stretch. In some ways,
he was out before he left.
Exactly, like you could tell he wasn't in it.
Okay, so
for the long haul.
So now, DeMar DeRozan was traded.
Yes.
I would say he's the first Raptor, the first star Raptor who has left, where fans were like, oh, like there's almost unanimous opinion about DeMar that he was a really great player, really great guy, loved living here.
Nothing to dislike.
Nothing to dislike about DeMar DeRozan. So someday I think his number will be retired here.
I think he'll be the first one to have his number retired, and frankly, he's the one who deserves it because he gave his heart to the franchise and he didn't want to leave.
So when you think about that, right, and we've talked about it before on Overdrive, that Toronto has a long history of its great players not leaving on good terms, and that includes a lot of great Leafs.
Yeah.
That includes a lot of great Leafs.
The greatest of all, Dave Keon.
Right. It doesn't end well here, but it's changed somewhat, and I do think the perception has changed, but even if the Raptors and the Leafs aren't a big free agent destination, so what?
Well, the Leafs just got Johnny Tavares, so that suggests they're a franchise
that
can attract a free agent.
I mean, the Blue Jays and the Raptors.
Yeah. Blue Jays and Raptors,
If the Blue Jays and Raptors aren't a free agent destination, so what?
No, you can build it a different way.
Build your team through the draft.
Yeah.
you know, make good. Alex Anthopoulos built a team that went to the playoffs 2 years in a row by making great trades.
Right, and I think it's player to player too, right? Like, you're never going to compete. You can't change the weather. You're not going to compete with the LAs of the world and the Miamis of the world based on lifestyle and weather. You can't compete with those places, and you can't compete with New York because it's the capital of everything.
Right,
but. You know, we've already seen, you know, Mark Stein of the New York Times talked about how Kristaps Porzingis, who yeah. obviously just left New York in the trade that sent him to the Dallas Mavericks, hasn't played this season, but is the guy that Kevin Durant has dubbed the unicorn, is a tremendous talent. Porzingis apparently is very high on Toronto as a market and would have been open to coming to Toronto if he hadn't been traded to Dallas. So there's a European player.
Yeah.
Who sees Toronto as a destination. We see, you know, Marc Gasol in town now and was acquired, obviously, and is very happy to be here in the latter stages of his career. A European player who sees this city as a massive upgrade over Memphis, A, because they're a way better team competitively, but B, because this is a much more culturally immersive city.
Yeah.
It's more diverse than Memphis, even though the weather's not as good as Memphis. And so... You know, Jeremy Lin is signing here after coming off the buyout market, and he sees this as a, you know, he had the choice of a lot of different cities, and he's choosing this one. So it's player to player. I'm not saying those guys are, they're not Kevin Durant. They're not marquee free agents. Right. They're not the creme de la creme, but it's player to player. And I think the Raptors have done a lot to really erase the stuff that has kind of tarred them over the years in terms of being a place you don't want to come, being a place you don't want to play. I think that it's a thing of the past in a lot of ways, as long as they're competitively relevant. A lot of that's going to hinge on who stays and who goes this offseason.
So here, when you think about it, where are the places you think about that NBA players want to play? Miami?
Yeah.
They're in ninth place.
Right.
L.A.? They're in 10th. Well, the Clippers are in ninth. The Lakers are in 10th place. Phoenix? Yeah. Dead last.
Well, Phoenix is a mess of a franchise.
The Knicks?
An owner you'd probably not want to play for.
The Knicks? Dead last.
Haven't been right. So I mean, in years.
So you think about that, like, and who are the good teams in the league? Well, Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Right? Indiana. Toronto. Yeah.
Denver, it goes to show
Oklahoma City, Portland. Like those are all top 10 teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
That aren't from places you'd think about that would be, you know, first of mind for a free agent. Like when LeBron James was going free agent, he wasn't thinking Portland or Indiana.
You're exactly right. No, you're exactly right. Look, LeBron made that choice. A lot of people theorize, and I think Brian Windhorst of ESPN, guys have talked about how it wasn't just a basketball choice, right? It was a lifestyle choice. It was about his career, wanting to get into the film and production business, wanting to network in those circles that you network in Los Angeles, which you can't do in Cleveland. And that's fair. But we've seen, like we saw Paul George, who everybody said was going to L.A.
Right.
He signs in Oklahoma City. No one saw that coming. So I think it's player to player. I think it's crazy to just paint this with a broad brush and say, no one's going to sign here because of this. I think if you're Masai Ujiri, you've got a proven track record of selling people on the merits of this city. And I think you're going to see a change. If you look another 20 years ahead, it'll be a different landscape altogether.
And I do think that the ability to build a team through the draft and trades is overlooked.
Oh, yeah.
Free agency is like candy for kids. It's like a drug for adults. It's just, we got to get a guy. Get a guy. Why didn't we get somebody? Why don't we have that guy? And all of a sudden, you look at championship teams and say, well, hang on a sec. Now, Golden State's different. But they drafted Steph Curry.
Yeah. Right? Drafted Draymond Green.
I mean,
they built that team. And, I mean, Durant's coming there changed everything and ruined the league in a lot of ways, ruined the competitive balance of the league, because it's a foregone conclusion that they're probably going to win their third straight and fourth in five this coming offseason, you know, outside of the idea that catastrophic injury would befell them. So that's not great. But you're right. Golden State built Golden State before Durant came there, and he's the reason that he's the reason it's been tipped to a ridiculous extreme. But you're right. This is the analytics era of sports. This is not about being, we're in New York, therefore we're going to be good. We know that's not the case. When you've got terrible ownership in New York and you've got the absolute circus that surrounds Madison Square Garden, nothing's going to change that as long as James Dolan is in charge, as far as I can tell. When you've got problems with all these franchises that are in marquee destinations, like the Miami Heat, they paid for the fact that, you know, they went all in on the LeBron era, and they haven't been able to come out of it because they haven't been able to draft and develop since then in a way that's made them a contender. Even though they're in Miami, even though it's South Beach, even though they've got everything going for them in that vein. I'm sure they'll rise again because of that, but that's not the only reason. They're also a really good franchise run by Pat Riley, and that's important too. So I don't think, to sum it up, I mean, look, Chris Bosh can complain about customs. I think he's mixing up security with customs because he's talking about having to take off his belt buckle and his jewelry. Well, that's not about customs. That's not about passport control. That's about going through the metal detector, Chris. And they've got that at every airport, whether you're flying internationally or, you know, domestically. So I'm not sure what Chris Bosh is going on about. But let's face it, Chris Bosh is also picking the Raptors to win the NBA East this year.
He's also, I think, speaking to it. I mean, he's trying to mend some fences.
But it wasn't a Toronto podcast. It was a national U.S. podcast.
But, I mean, Vince did the same thing, right? They're trying to...
I don't know. I don't think Bosh is a pretty straight talker. He's not gonna blow kisses to Toronto. I don't think he really cares what anybody in this town really thinks of him.
Well, we don't know what he thinks because he didn't join us on the show. I'm not bitter.
Having known Chris Bosh as a Raptor, I don't know him personally, but I knew him as a player. I knew him to cover him and interview him. I would say, you know, he's a pretty independent thinker. I think he's going to tell you what he thinks, and I think he thinks the Raptors are the best team. At least that's what he's saying. I don't think he's saying that disingenuously.
All right. When we come back, I'm making my own picks, my best bets.
The boys are in Vegas. But it is Gord Miller who is rolling the dice.
Gonna roll the bones. When we come back, you're listening to Overdrive on TSN 1050 and watching on TSN 2. Mark Cowbell. I like it. Gord Miller, Dave Fest checks it in for the boys who are on their way to Vegas. So time now for today's best bets brought to you by ProLine. Here's what I got for you. The last time the Washington Wizards were here in Toronto, they lost by 18 points. So I'm taking Toronto. The Raptors a home plus against the Wizards. I'm taking Edmonton and Pittsburgh to tie tonight.
Ooh.
To go to overtime. Remember the last time they played in Edmonton? Crosby scored the overtime winner.
6-5, right?
I think they're going to overtime again tonight, so that's a tie. And I'm going to take Anaheim over Vancouver at home tonight.
Bob Murray behind the bench.
Canucks are having trouble in goal. The Ducks have got to do something. If they're ever going to win a game, it's tonight. So those are my three picks. Put $20 down. I get all three right. You make $466.
Woo-hoo! That is a long 66
bones.
Shots.
You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 50 Radio, and you can get way into the game with ProLine. It's a sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game.
You ought to be the guy on the plane to Vegas with that kind of long shot attitude. You're in a gambling mood, my man.
The boys are on from Vegas tomorrow on Overdrive.